Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back, everybody. Now, here's something this week that's highly unusual, something that it only happens once in the entire Bible. And you just heard it in the gospel. This is the only time in all the scriptures in which Jesus ever rebukes somebody for following him. You never see that anyplace else. You might imagine God wants everybody to follow Jesus no matter what the motives, but it turns out that's not entirely accurate. Jesus says to the people here in the crowds, "You're following me for all the wrong reasons." It's a mild rebuke, right? But it's a reprimand nonetheless. So here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to do this morning. We want to understand what he means when he says this, and we want to understand why Jesus says this, because it turns out this is actually very, very important. Right now, we are in the midst of a very special time. A time that only comes around once every 3 years. We're reading through the Gospel of John chapter 6 every Sunday across 5 straight Sundays. We only do that once every 3 years in the year in which our gospel reading is ordinarily taken from the Gospel of Mark, and that's this year. Gospel of Mark's the shortest gospel of all, so short that if all we did was read from Mark this year, we would run out of gospel. And we don't want that to happen, okay? So the church, it supplements this with these readings, especially this year, 5 weeks of John chapter 6. Every one of you out there ought to know why John chapter 6 is important, okay? I hope you already know. Just in case you don't know, try to commit this to memory. John 6 is the place in the Gospels where Jesus first tells us about the Blessed Sacrament. That's why it's so important. Now, we're in the second of these 5 weeks, which means the context for the Gospel that you just heard was the Gospel that you heard last Sunday. Anybody remember the Gospel that you heard last Sunday? Don't all answer at once. I'll tell you, okay? It was the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. Only miracle that shows up in all 4 Gospels. But you know the importance of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes was not the miracle itself. The importance of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes was the effect that it had on the crowd. Now, multiplying loaves and fishes, this was really impressive, right? He fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and a couple of dried fish. Very impressive. But it wasn't the most impressive thing Jesus ever did. I can think of 3 times right off the top of my head where Jesus brought people back from the dead. It wasn't the most impressive miracle. The importance of the loaves and the fishes was the effect that it had on the crowd. Because as soon as Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, the people knew this was indeed the long-awaited promised Messiah. Here's why. The prophets foretold lots of signs that would accompany the Messiah when he arrived. Isaiah especially tells what these signs are. He says, when the Messiah arrives, he's going to work wonders. He's going to make the blind see. He's going to make the lame walk. He's going to make the deaf hear. And when he preaches, he's going to preach like nobody you've ever heard before. And clearly Jesus was all of those things, right? But there was one sign in particular that everybody was waiting for. When the Messiah came, the prophets said he would bring back the miracle of the manna in the desert. He would once again bring back the bread come down from heaven. Now, y'all know about the manna in the desert, don't you? Don't you? Yes, that was our first reading. You know about the manna in the desert. That was what happened in the book of Exodus when the Israelite people went from slavery in the promised land, slavery in Egypt, to freedom in the promised land by crossing through the desert. God fed his people with bread from heaven. It came down every single day, the miracle of the manna. Well, when they came to the promised land, the manna ceased. The miracle stopped. And there arose this prophecy that one day the Messiah would bring back the manna in the desert. So when Jesus feeds 5,000 people with those 5 loaves, the people say, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. this is the bread that came down from heaven. And they want to make Jesus king, and Jesus runs away to the other side of the lake, and the people follow him, and the two meet up today, and that's the context of the gospel that you just heard right here. They want to make Jesus king. Jesus runs away. You can't make Jesus a king. Jesus is already a king. And here's where he rebukes the people. He says, you guys are following me for all the wrong reasons. You're following me on a false understanding of who I am. As if to say, you think I'm the promised Messiah, but I'm not what you think I am. I think I mentioned this before. The people thought the Messiah, when he came, would be an entirely this-worldly political leader. He's someone who would restore the great days of Israel and the days of King David and King Solomon. The Messiah would bring back the economic greatness of those old days. The Messiah would bring back the military might of those good old days. The Messiah would make Israel a cultural leader in all the world. He would throw off the oppressive Roman government. And Jesus says, you all are following on false pretenses. I'm none of those things. It was a false hope. Now, I hope you already know that when you follow the Lord, what? He's always going to make things work out in the long run for our best, for our well-being. God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him. But in the short run, he asks us to persevere. He can ask us to carry very heavy crosses as we follow him. You ever heard of the prosperity gospel? The prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is this idea that if you follow Jesus, he's going to make you rich. It was real popular like 100 years ago, 150 years ago among robber barons like Rockefellers and Vanderbilts. The prosperity gospel still exists to this day. You can sometimes hear it in, you know, these televangelists, and they have their own TV show, and they say, hey, follow Jesus and your stocks will go through the roof. It doesn't happen all that much in the Catholic Church. You don't hear very much about it, thankfully. However, we're all guilty of one form or another of believing in the prosperity gospel. Because we've got this idea that if we follow the Lord, he's going to make all our problems go away, and it's just not true. He can ask you to carry a very, very heavy cross. And how important it is that we persevere in following him. That's why Jesus says to this crowd right here, who's following him for all the wrong reasons, that's why he tells them about the Blessed Sacrament. That's why he introduces these people and us, reminds us of the importance of the Blessed Sacrament. Because when you understand what it is, when you understand that it's Jesus himself, when you're attached to the Blessed Sacrament and love it with all of your heart, you can endure no matter what comes, no matter what happens. It's tremendously powerful that way. I'll tell you a little story that you might find interesting. A priest I knew, he was traveling once in the west of Ireland. And if you've ever been there, you don't need me to tell you, there's few places in all the world more beautiful than the west of Ireland. He's driving along, sees this gorgeous little church out here on this peninsula. He says, oh, I got to check that out. Drives down, goes inside the church, and inside the church, he sees something that he's never seen before in any church. There's an 18th century antique wagon, horse-drawn wagon, right there in the back of church. Hundreds of years old, this aged wood and rusted metal and these great big long poles they used to use to hitch it up to a horse. And what appears to be this hut in the back of church, never seen anything like it in the church, turns to one of the locals. He says, hey, what the heck is that? And in a delightful Irish brogue, he says, well, that, my friend, is a little slice of the history of Ireland. 200 or 300 years ago, that wagon was our parish. 200 or 300 years ago, that wagon was our church. Because those were days in which the faith in Ireland was all but illegal. You could build a church, but the English would just come and burn it down. So what we did was we would spread by word of mouth where we were going to meet for Mass, okay? And they would hitch up that wagon to a horse, and they'd take it out into the bog and into the bush. We all gather. And the priest would climb up into the back of that wagon, into that little hut, and he'd say the Mass in whispers. In whispers. Because we were all listening for anybody who might come. Because if anybody came, the wagon would roll away and we'd all go our separate ways. And the priest says, well, what's the penalty for being caught going to Mass? He goes, well, those were days of a terrible famine in Ireland. And if you were caught going to Mass, you wouldn't get a food voucher from the British. The only way that you could eat is that you get a voucher for food from the British. And anybody who went to Mass risked going hungry. And worse, to the point, they risked their family going hungry too. We keep that wagon in the back of our church to remind us of the importance of the Blessed Sacrament. And those great people of years gone by who cared more about the bread from heaven than they cared about the bread of this world. And he said, and that is how the faith survived in Ireland. See how the Blessed Sacrament works. We're going to hear about the Blessed Sacrament for weeks now in the Gospel of John chapter 6. And there's lots of things you could say about it. You can talk about the grace of the Blessed Sacrament. You could talk about the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. One thing I ask you to think about today is its power to help you to endure. Nobody who loves the Blessed Sacrament ever leaves the Catholic Church. Either they abandon their love of the Blessed Sacrament or they hold fast no matter what comes. The great Irish-born politician, Sir Edmund Burke, speaking of this same persecution in these days of Ireland, once stood on the floor of Parliament in London. And he said, we've killed their priests. We've burned their churches. We've scattered the faithful to the four winds. And what do we have to show for our efforts but the most loyally Catholic nation on the face of the earth? One of my favorite psalms is Psalm number 23. You know Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My favorite line from that psalm is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're with me. I love that line. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? I'm not afraid. Why am I not afraid? Not because you're going to take me out of the valley. Not because there's nothing in the valley to be afraid of. I'm not afraid because you're with me. It's one of our Lord's most important messages in giving us the Blessed Sacrament. It's part of what he meant when he said, whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. So as we go across these weeks that are to come, listen carefully now to what you hear from the Gospel of John. I don't care how deep your faith is. You can always make it deeper. And brothers and sisters, something tells me that in the days that are to come, we're going to need a very strong faith in the Blessed Sacrament. What can we do to accomplish the works of God? The people asked. And Jesus says, this is the work of God. Believe in the one he sent. There's no better place in all the world to do that than right here. And there's no better time than right now. Amen.